This week, I wanted to start a new series, a three-week series on Elisha and fighting a famine. So as I was putting together this three-week series, I was kind of looking at, you know, problems and providing. I'm putting this all together, and I started coming up with my 3 weeks. And I was thinking, I got a P and a P and a P and a P. So there was a class that I thought that I didn't do very well in college and Bible school, and that was homiletics class, preaching class, preacher boys class, where they got you all together and you had to preach and preach. And that's basically what the class was. We did a lot of preaching, and everybody critiqued your preaching. They always talked about like getting alliteration and cute little things, and I wasn't very good at that, but I was pretty, I heard my P's, and so I came up with problems in the 3 weeks. Problems in Israel. God will do a miracle. Poison in the stew, or maybe it's in your pew. That came from, I don't know where that's not me. And then, provision of a meal, especially if your faith is real. And so we're going to have 3 weeks of P's here. But the first one, was problems. Problems. And that's what we're going to be discussing this week. Let's open our Bibles and let's look at the text and pray. And then we'll start talking about this. But let's open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 38. 2 Kings 4, in verse 38, says, "And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, 'Put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets.' So one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered from it a lap full of wild gourds, and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, 'Man of God, there is death in the pot.' And they could not eat it. So he said, 'Then bring some flour.' And he put it into the pot and said, 'Serve it to the people, that they may eat.' And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Then a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, 'Give it to the people that they may eat.' But his servant said, 'What, shall I set this before 100 men? He said again, 'Give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over.' So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we open your word today, that you might help us to be encouraged, to learn, and to grow. Lord God, you are good. And I thank you so much for the way that you answer prayer. And we just say, he leads us, that you lead us along, some through the water and some through the fire, but all through the blood. We just sang about it, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with our soul. Lord, as we have trials in our life, and as we face difficult times, help us to lean on you, to go to you for help and comfort. I thank you. I praise you for being our God and for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said, I was going to talk about problems. And last week we came me and my family, we just so want to thank you for what a blessing you were to our family last week and the service and the meal, and you guys were great. We just want to say thank you. And we are so blessed and so encouraged and just had a great time last week that I think God said, Pastor Scott, next week you're going to talk about problems. So I need to prepare you for the problems. Right? Doesn't that seem like sometimes if God's trying to teach you a lesson, he gives you like practical application for those things? And I kind of experienced that last week. Last Sunday, I had an awesome day. The Lord just blessed us so much. Then Monday came, and you know Monday, like some days you just have Mondays. And I had exactly what I wanted to accomplish. And I wanted to go visit a bunch of people and spend time with, and I was going to, me and Michelle were going to go visiting some people, and it seemed like every 10 minutes we got lost. Ended up in the wrong place, and by the time I got home, Michelle, this was not how Monday was supposed to, and Monday just turned into not what I had, and not by my plan. By the time I got home and done with what I wanted to do, I was just kind of like, oh, Monday. So I woke up. I usually get up quite early in the morning, and I go downstairs. And I'm sitting down there, I'm getting ready to have my prayer and Bible time, and I'm sitting there in the dark, and I hear drip, 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 drip. And I go, what's going on? And I turn the corner in our basement, and the water filter in the house is leaking. Ugh. And so I'm shutting that, you know, trying to get that shut off and going, oh. At night, I can't believe this. And so I go through my day Tuesday, and how am I going to get this fixed, and when is this going to happen, and get through the day Tuesday, and Wednesday comes. And Wednesday, my wife calls me up, the dryer's broken. And Silas needs pants for work tonight. Of course, right? And the dryer's broken. Okay, God, and get through Tuesday and Wednesday. And all the time, this is Thanksgiving week, and I'm encouraging people, and I'm talking to people. What can we be thankful for? Like, I was literally going to the hospital and thinking about what, you know, these people that I know are having a whole lot worse time than I am. I can't even compare to what these people are going through. But at the same time, I've been having a pretty lousy week, and every time I turn around, there's another little thing. I mean, these aren't huge things, but there's trials and problems that just another thing and another thing. I'm going to people and talking to them about being thankful, thanking the Lord for, and at the same time, I'm going, oh, the dryer's broken, and the water's leaking, and I can't find a house to save my life, and just, oh. And then it was either... And I was trying to think about this on the way to church this morning. I can't remember if it was Wednesday night or Thursday night. My wife was playing around with the dryer, and something happened, and a circuit blew in the house. And I went down. It must have been Thursday night, because that was the night it was going to be like 0 degrees. And so the circuit had blown in the house, and I went downstairs, and I took apart the electrical panel and was trying to search and make sure that it was just the dryer, and I'm turning the furnace on and turning the furnace, because I was just afraid. You ever get those moments like where something goes wrong? And I was just afraid that in the middle of the night that something was going to blow in the breaker and the furnace was going to go down and all the pipes in the house. And so I just had this plan to, and so I was laying there 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and I have all this stuff playing through my head. And I'm praying to the Lord, and just saying, God, I just need you to take all of these things. And I need you to just deal with them. And so finally, I just it was late, and Michelle woke up, and I was like, Michelle, I cannot sleep. I can't sleep. I just got all this. And so I just listed like all the things that were just playing through my head and all the things that needed to be done and all the things that needed to be taken care of. And I was afraid the house was going to, we were going to wake up and it was going to be like 20 degrees in the house in the morning. And she, you know, she's always so, did you pray about it? I said, yes, I've been praying about this. So we've got to have like a 2-hour conversation. And I talked to her and I said, I've been praying about this. And just at that moment, God just said, okay, peace. And I fell asleep. And the next couple of days, God provided somebody to come over and help me with the leak in the basement. Got that taken care of, praise the Lord. Got the dryer fixed. Silas got his pants for work in the morning. Everything, and God just, he blessed and he took care. And there was always like a answered prayer and him doing miracles. And God gives us problems, often allows us to go through them so that we can learn things from them. And maybe God just gives us a bad week where it seems like every time we turn around, something goes wrong. So because you're going to be talking to somebody about problems on Sunday morning, right? God knows. And he took care of it all. Last night, I laid down and just fell asleep, praising the Lord, saying, thank you, God. It was a rough time, but you took care of everything I needed and then some. Thank you, God. And so I encourage you. I don't know the problems that you're facing. Maybe your week was, you're sitting there and you're saying, yeah, Pastor Scott, I wish I had your week. My week was a whole lot worse than yours. I know, I've had worse weeks than that. And you have too. In those moments, take it to the Lord. You know, and sometimes, guys, when your wife says to you, you need to just pray about this. Just pray about it. Take it to the Lord. And you know, sometimes we so want to just face these things. But I said, problems in Israel. Have you ever, I mean, I think about the miracles that God has done through Elisha. Whenever I've thought about Elisha and Elijah, I've always been amazed and been able to, I feel like I've been able to relate to Elijah. You know, God does something great in his life and he gets way up here and then you see him get discouraged and he's way down here. And I've always enjoyed reading Elijah. And then I get to Elisha. And I read about a guy who does like twice as many miracles. I have a hard time finding a fault in the guy. And it's just amazing the things that Elisha does. And I go, wow, Elijah's got problems. And he's really sold out on God and then he's discouraged. And I can relate to him. Elisha, though, he seems like the guy that followed him and just did everything perfect. And I'm like, Elisha, yeah, I'm so glad you did all this stuff, but I'm never going to be an Elisha, so... I'm glad you did twice as many miracles, and I love the miracles, and I've been learning this stuff about this. And I think about this, the problems that Elisha had. And I started looking, started writing some of these things down. There we go. And the problem in Israel, God's going to do a miracle. In order for Elisha to face these miracles that he had, we say he had twice as many miracles as Elijah. That means he had twice as many problems that needed miracles than Elijah did. You ever, and I sat there and I go, I never thought about it that way. He had to have twice as many problems as Elijah in order for God to do twice as many miracles. And here, he frequently... Matt, I don't think the cursor's on that screen. I think it's on your screen. Or maybe it's not just not working. It's a problem. That's okay. God will take care of it. Just pray about it. Well, we should pray about it, shouldn't we? That's practical. I'm praying about it right now. Matt can hit the button. Matt, will you hit the button? There we go. Okay. The problem. Elisha returns to Gilgal, and there is famine in the region. And you think about this, God has just done something great in Elisha's life. This child has come back to life. He returns to Gilgal to see what's going on with the school of the prophets and famine in the land. So he's up here, and he's just seen God do something amazing. And he goes back home, and the first thing that he finds is famine. And it's interesting because God frequently places his servants, and that's you and me, in difficult circumstances. If you think, oh God, I'm a Christian, so every night I'm going to sleep on a bed that is just going to be completely wonderful and amazing. No. And if you think that because you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that nothing is ever going to break down on you, your car is always going to start in the morning, you're always going to have perfect weather, and no, God allows his people to go through different difficult circumstances. Let's just take into account some of the things that Elisha has been going through in just like the last couple chapters. Picture yourself as Elisha. He's got polluted water, crippling poverty, a death of a child in Shunem, and now you know, he's been going through all this stuff, seeing God work. He's got a problem and God works. He's got a problem and God works. He's got problem after problem after problem, but God's been faithful. He goes home, and I can almost imagine what it must have been like to be Elisha. Probably like me, about the middle of this week. The middle of the week. Not the end of the week, because God provided. He was amazing. And he took care of everything that I needed. But in the middle of the week, you know, I said, what next? That was me when I was laying awake at night saying, I'm going to get up in the morning, and the power went out, and it's 20 degrees in the house. And me going, what next? I wonder if Elisha ever said, God, what next? And as he's going home to Gilgal, he's probably asking that question. God, what are you going to expose me to? What next? And the next problem that he faces, the thing that he comes to in his life here, is famine. And I know when we think about famine in the Bible, when we think about these things, these trials and famine, we often think about famine as if it's judgment from God. You know, God's punishing these prophets at Gilgal because they were there to learn from the feet of Elisha. I don't think that in this case, I don't see any reason why God would have brought this famine to be punishing these people. You think about the churches in Africa that face famine and poverty and terrible things, and people in China, North Korea, who are daily on their knees praying to the Lord. They probably love the Word of God more than any one of us in this room. When you hear about some of these things that the people do to get a copy of the Word of God and what they would go through to pray, things that we have never been subjected to, and then they have a lot more problems than us. Try telling them that problems are judgment from God. Sometimes problems are the thing that God uses in our life to refine our faith. Sometimes those things that come are just to help us grow in the Lord. So when you're facing those problems, maybe you should be saying, thank you, God. Thank you for my dryer that won't start, because you're going to show me how to fix it, and we can say praise the Lord together as a couple when we get it all put back together, press the start button, and it turns on, and we go, praise the Lord, God, you're good. Or when God provides someone at the right time to help you with a difficult problem, you can say, praise the Lord, God, you're good. God brings problems into our life for a number of reasons. sometimes they're for our own sake, to draw us closer to Him, to help us see that He's in control. And sometimes they're for the sake of others, so that other people can see the testimony that there's a God that does amazing things and He answers prayer. There's someone in this church today who had a problem, you know, just like that, a problem, and God did a miracle, and we can see that. And I asked this person, I asked him if I could share this story. So I'd like to share a story of somebody in church and their problem this week. On Wednesday night, we had a prayer request that we prayed for. And that was that we heard that Fred was stuck in Boston. His tractor trailer wasn't going to let him get home for Thanksgiving. And we as a church family, we heard that prayer request, and we said, we want Fred to be with Lois. How awful is that? And we as a church, we said, we're going to pray. And so about 7 o'clock, 6:45, 7 o'clock, we all started praying. We prayed for Fred, that God would be with Fred in Boston. And right about that time, if you can ask Fred about the story, but right about that time, God sent some, what were they, Canadians? Some Canadians. Maybe angels unaware come from Canada. I don't know. But anyway, some Canadians down to Fred with the right parts that he needed when everybody said, we can't do that, it's too close to the holiday. We've closed up shop. And somebody sent them right to Fred. They worked on his and I loved it. On Thanksgiving morning, I got a call. And it said, while we were praying, God was answering. Amen. And when you got problems and a church family prays, God answers. Sometimes He even sends Canadians. And I just, on Thursday morning when I heard, I can remember praying and I said, Lord God, bring Fred home to Lois for Thanksgiving. And when on Thursday morning somebody called and said, oh, Fred's home with Lois. You know what? I don't even think I really expected God to answer that question. But He did. And why should we be surprised? We've got a God that answers, takes care of those situations. You know, when we've got a problem, God has a solution. I'm going to keep Matt busy back there. The solution, God always protects and God always provides. And I'm going to stand by that word, always. Because even the persecuted church, like when I think about someone in the worst situation in the world, being persecuted and tortured for Christ, testimonies, the stories that you hear, are even as someone is laying down their life for the sake of the gospel, God provides and He protects. And it's amazing. You allow Him to do that and He will be faithful. Problems are going to come, but miracles are going to follow. Let's turn over in the New Testament and look at some scriptures. Problems are going to come, and miracles are going to follow. We're going to look at a couple of verses up there. I've got them on the screen. I've got like this magnetic bookmark that kind of like clips a couple of your pages together. It can only use like two or three pages before the magnet won't work. And I've got James and 1 Peter. You know, I've got them bookmarked with this magnet. In other words, what I'm saying is you go to the back of the general epistles. There's the Pauline epistles, and there's the general epistles. If you go to the general epistles, you're going to find these passages. They're not very far apart. And there's something that you could underline in your Bible And you can write right next to James chapter 1. You can write 1 Peter chapter 1. And here's my point in doing that. When you got problems, and when you're like Elisha, and you feel like you have twice as many problems as the guy who went before you, you can take a bookmark and you can, you know, do James 1 and 1 Peter 1. And you can, and there's another passage of scripture in Romans that says something very, very similar. But we can look at these places and we can say, in James chapter 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. There's something that I've heard Christians say, and I just get, and it's based off of this passage of scripture. It says, don't pray for patience, because if you pray for patience, you're going to get problems. Do you want God to do miracles in your life? Do you want him to see him at work in your life? And you need, if you want God to provide, protect, look at all these P's. Like, maybe I learned something in homilies. I don't know. But do you want God to provide, protect, to do miracles, to answer your prayers? You need problems. If you want him to grow you, if you want him to make you complete and perfect, you need problems. And so maybe somebody here this week, you are going to be laying awake at night, just like I did, thinking about something. You know, just worried about it, and bring it before the Lord. Say, God, I want to see you work this week. I want to see you do something amazing. Step back and let God take control. That's what Elisha, and why I wanted to stop here and talk about this, is as we look at Elisha, we talk about the great things he's been doing, but he's been facing so many problems. And in this series of, we're going to see two problems, two more problems that he's got. And I wonder if he said, what next, God? What are you going to do? But in his life, we see a faith that is real. That's my goal, is to get a place where we see a faith that is real. You want a faith that's real? Going to have problems. And so as we see these problems, maybe we got to stop and say, God, thank you for the problems. I know I did that like a couple of times this week. I wasn't always good at it. I got to admit, there were times where I was just going, another thing. But there was a time or two where I said, God, thank you. Thank you. And that's something that we need to be faithful in doing. As we face problems, say, God, thank you. Now turn just a couple of pages over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We read this morning, but we need to be reminded of it. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuine of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are problems worth it? Is it okay for us as believers to face problems? Yes, absolutely. Do you want genuine faith? You're going to have to face trials. And faith is more precious than gold. That's going to perish. It's going to leave. But the things that when God tests us and he grows us, we give glory to Jesus Christ. And today I have to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the problems. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for providing. Thank you for protecting. And I hope that today, as you are facing trials, that you'll say to God, thank you. You'll sit back, offer those things up to the Lord, and let him take care of it. If you've got twice as, maybe a good way to think about this, if you've got twice as many problems as you did this week than you did last week, thank God, because you're going to have twice as many miracles. And that's worth it. Up here I've got another passage of Scripture in just a second. God guides us through those perilous times. You guys have heard me talk about my More Than Conquerors group. When I came up with the name for that, I was thinking about this passage of Scripture. And I think as Christians, we are going to face problems. We are going to face difficult times. But with God on our side and him guiding us through them, we will conquer those problems. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Nothing can separate you from God's love. And if he guides you to the problem, he will lead you through it. That's why I chose those songs this morning. God leads his dear children along. It is well with my soul. I think about those songs, and sometimes there's some days where we have to sing those songs, right? And they got to be in our mind. They got to be in our hearts. And when we face the trials and testings of life, we need those things in our mind. The world cannot understand what we're going through. They cannot cope with the problems that the church faces. However, it is the supernatural reaction of the peace and the trust in God, the confidence that we have in him, that in the hard times, God is going to do something beyond what we can even fathom. We need to thank him and praise him that he leads us through the difficult times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for the hard times. I don't know everyone's problems here today. Lord, I don't know what these people woke up to this morning, what kept them awake last night, what they're going to face when they leave here today. Maybe they have a heartache in their family. Maybe their car is giving them problems. Maybe their health is more than they can handle. Maybe they have problems at work, trials and tribulations that they are facing. They need your grace. Maybe you've given them a double portion of problems. Lord, we so often thought about the double portions of miracles that Elisha experienced. But Lord, you also gave him twice as many problems as you did Elijah. And Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here who feels as if in the Christian life, in the life that they're living right now, they're facing all these testings, all these trials, that you'll help them to realize that you're a God that can carry them through. We pray for your daily grace. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.